Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Mully and Hanley, mornings live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's sports station.
Jake Arrieta he's a big squirrel with a lot of nuts in his tree.
Cubs win.
Jordan Whitmire taking you inside the Cubs clubhouse.
Cubs win.
Chicago Cubs. Yeah.
The Chicago Sun-Times. Gordon Whitmire.
Chicago, what do you say? The Cubs are gonna win.
He's a big squirrel.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Gordon Whitmire joins us on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline. Your CarX man has the lowest tire prices right now. Is that a compliment?
You had a front row seat to that little session yesterday.
Oh,
huh?
That's beautiful.
Yeah, geez. Well, that's a reprisal from the NLCS last month. He said it then, too, when he was making a similar case. It was awesome. He must like that one.
Was there a?
Did
I hear?
Yeah.
Well, did I hear a? Well, and I don't know about you, but I'm buying property in Playoffville.
I hear the taxes are pretty high, though. I don't know, and I'm not sure the school district's as good.
But did I hear a sense of a little desperation? We're not hearing the offers we want to hear for the big squirrel, so. You know, he had to go out and scream from the mountaintops that everyone's making enough money. Someone pay this guy.
I think. I mean, the short answer is yes. He's got a lot of the top clients out there, and I think what we're seeing a really interesting moment in the game economically right now. The revenues are high. I mean, they're as high as they've ever been. There's been a huge spike across the board. As much as some teams want to claim that they might still be losing money, they're only losing money if they're doing something weird with their money, with their revenue, because the teams like the Marlins who claim that they're losing money, they're not paying people enough to suggest that's true. Even if you just look at the national revenues that every team gets, including their digital side just sold for massive, massive amounts of money, and everybody gets an equal share of that. There's also revenue sharing for the lower revenue teams. Nobody's losing money, and franchise values are going up across the board. Boris is right about all that stuff. But salaries aren't keeping up, and they haven't for a long time. And even more, if you're the guy that's trying to keep players in step with the increases in revenues in the game, then you're probably a little worried even more than the trends that we've seen in the last 10 years as you look forward at this new CBA, because these luxury tax thresholds are an even more effective salary cap than they've been in the past because they're artificially low compared to where the revenues are. So I know people don't like listening to all that business stuff, but it's going to affect salaries. It's the thing is, even the teams that can afford to pay the highest penalties, the dollar for dollar, or even the highest penalty, I think, is a 62% tax if you cross a second threshold in a multiple year, that kind of thing. Even the teams that can afford to and are willing to do that, then you start getting into draft pick compensation penalties, and you start getting your top draft pick overall moved back 10 spots and things like that. So now it's not just the owners that are talking about, I don't want to spend all that money. Now it's the player development department that's saying, what are you doing with my ability to draft good players? And then what does that do to our farm system and being able to build from within? And so those are real restrictions. And I think it's going to create possibly a payroll bubble in the not too distant future, because you see in our city, the Haywards and the Lesters type contracts. There's so many of those out there. Some Giancarlo Stanton, the Marlins want to move that contract. That's a huge thing to try to move. There's only a few teams that can do it. As more nine-figure contracts come on different teams' books, there's going to be fewer places to fit those anywhere else. And so now, it's going to restrict the top salaries, ultimately. And it's going to be really interesting to watch. And I think that's what Boris is alluding to on this.
So does that mean that that you wait on Jake and you wait and see what the price is and what the years are, and maybe you end up bringing him back at less value? Or does it mean that the market just moves slowly and you've got to move on?
Yeah, I think that's probably what happens. I don't think this is – in some ways it is about Jake. It's definitely not specifically about Jake. And I think some of the projections we've seen, whether it's five years on a nine-figure deal or four on a higher per year, he'll definitely get paid.
Right.
And I think that when you start getting in those kind of figures, that's not what the Cubs are willing to pay him. So he's going somewhere else. I don't think they're sitting around waiting for him.
If you get Alex Cobb, does that solve that issue? I mean, is that like for like, or is that pretty? I know they had but
I don't think like for like is necessarily what they're looking for. Look, they've won the Jake Arrieta, the period of time on their roster, right? I mean, he had the best year of anybody since Bob Gibson, and they paid him $3.6 million that year. And so even though his pay jumped drastically over those next 2 years, and he was still an all-star pitcher the next year and won two World Series games, and then this past year, until the hamstring, was one of the hottest pitchers going and really productive and a big part of them coming back and getting back in the playoffs again this year. So are you going to get better? You're not going to get better value for that, no matter what he does going forward. And I think they look at it like it would be foolish to go pay that top dollar because he won a Cy Young Award in 15 or World Series games in 16. If we think we can build something that might have that might be better value, get more innings, more quality innings for. Out of more pitchers for the same dollars, that kind of thing. So to answer your question, I guess yes.
So how much groundwork was actually done to get, I guess, a few weeks now that you're back in Orlando for the winter meetings? How much did the seeds kind of get sown there for deals or signings that will happen?
I think they already knew what they wanted to do. For instance, in the Alex Cobb situation, there had already been some discussions. They were able to sit down face-to-face. Touch base with quite a few other people, maybe get an idea what the markets on some relievers are going to be. Maybe it kind of confirmed what they already knew with their other discussions. So it's, typically you talk about the groundwork, and there's a little bit of that. But so much is done, on iPhones that honestly, you could probably get away without having the GM meetings and get just as much done. But it does give an opportunity to sit face-to-face with some people, including teams, which sometimes helps. I think what you're going to see going forward is that the relief pitchers that they're looking at, they've kind of got – there's enough of them. There's some depth there. So they've got these lists, kind of the upper echelon guys that they really want. And then a lot of guys, there's some – duplication out there too. So if you don't get this guy, you go to the next guy. Don't get him, you go to the next guy. If one of those guys that they want becomes available early in the process, in their range of what they want to pay for the guy, they might jump on a reliever first. Otherwise, somebody like an Alex Cobb could be the first domino to fall, and then it'll play out probably more of a slow dance the rest of the winter as they fill the other pitching needs.
What's your gut feeling on Davis? He gone too?
I think probably. Yeah. That's definitely a wait toward the end of the market because it's a deep relief pitcher market. And there's not a lot of teams out there that maybe are in a market for a real legitimate closer necessarily, or a real experienced high-level closer necessarily, that it could play back to them a little bit. It may not. You know, he's really good. One of, if not the top guys out there. So somebody could get really aggressive with him, and he could get a market-setting deal, or those relievers could just kind of hang out there, and people pick off the what they think are the ideal fits for themselves, and he lingers for a while, and then the market shows itself to not be quite as robust, and they're able to get him maybe more in line with what they want to pay him, but that'll play out at least to the winter meetings, and probably if they get him, probably well beyond the winter meetings.
And we heard Alex Cobb express his love for Joe and Jim Hickey.
Absolutely.
And everything, and not surprisingly, but 10 teams or so are going to be interested, and it looks like at least a 5-year deal, and we know the Cubs don't like to commit long-term big money. What's the money if it is 5 years, and are they interested in those numbers?
Well, you start with the fact he turned down, what, 17.4, right, the qualifying offer. It probably between 15 and 20 per year. You look at Mike Leake a couple of years ago. He got five for 75. It's probably something like that. You know, he's that next tier pitcher. So if Boris is right and salaries don't rise anymore, maybe 5 and 75. If you account for some inflation over the last 2 years, you know, is it 5 and 80? Is it a little bit more than that? Probably something in that range. Depending on, you know, these things, it's like any other thing, any other open market out there. If somebody else decides he's the perfect guy for them, and he decides that's a fit, you know, geographically a clubhouse fit and the whole thing, then maybe the price goes up. But right now it looks like he really likes the idea here. I hear he's, you know, sort of this creature of habit guy. You know, was really tight with the guys in that clubhouse and comfortable in Tampa Bay, the only place he's ever played. Those guys all came up together. That's a high priority of his, to find a place where he can feel that kind of clubhouse comfort, you know, chemistry. And the only pitching coach he's ever knew in the majors, and a manager he had, or his original manager he had for several years. I mean, that's a pretty good place to start from a comfort level.
Great stuff, Gordon. Appreciate it, buddy.
All right, guys. Take care.
That's Gordon Whitmire from the Chicago Sun-Times covering the Cubs. What do you
think?
He's
a big squirrel.
What do you think of the big squirrel? 312-644-6767 is the telephone number. Yeah, I think you proceed as if he's done. I mean, I don't think you go back and try to resurface in that production, despite as much as you'd want to wait it out and see what the money actually is. You got to move forward. You can't be caught without anyone when the music stops.
Unless Scott Boras actually, you know, has some humble pie and calls you and says, hey, you know what? Maybe you were closer to the reality. Is that offer still available?
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the Score.
He's a big squirrel with a lot of nuts in his trees.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
We had some things in that second half that we can build on. But, you know, for our team to have a chance to win, we have to play a full 48 minutes, and we're not doing that right now.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the Score. Wow. That does not inspire you, hearing Fred. Again, you had a couple days to get ready, and you came out and you scored 7 points in the first quarter of a basketball game. That's the poorest start in the history of the Bulls franchise.
Yes.
That's the lowest point total in any first quarter to open any game in the history of the Chicago Bulls, which I believe were founded in 1966?
Late 60s, yeah.
Mid to late 60s, let's say. Was it 66? I think it was 66.
They were 1 point off the fewest points for any quarter. They've done six a few times.
It was 66.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. So that's a while. right?
It's been a while.
51 years, is that right?
That's why they didn't play a full 48 minutes, because that first 12 didn't work out too well.
I mean, that is really pathetic.
Fewer points than minutes.
Yeah. And you had, like I said, you had a couple days to prepare for that. You lost this team by 30. They did win the second half. I'd like to point that out. So if you're really, you know, taking everything into account, you got to give them credit for the way they rallied.
Grit?
No.
Was it all about the grit?
No, it's all about the bad. And frankly, I was very surprised to open the season that they were playing as well as they were. I thought they were playing well. And then you get into this, and maybe it's inevitable because once you realize that even when you're trying hard, you're not going to go anywhere. But is Fred holding anyone accountable? I mean, this is Fred having practice and telling everyone that the starting lineup's going to show, oh, we're going to make some moves.
We're going to see
all jobs are open.
Who wants to play?
And then you end up with that. And I, you know, I okay. Let's say that that there is some sort of, I don't know, there's a reason that they're as bad as they are. Let's say that there is some sort of, I don't know what, there's distraction because of what's going on with Nico and Bobby Portis. If you were to get rid of one or both of those guys, are they any better? Are they any worse? That's a bad team, man, and that's a bad team that doesn't try hard. And I think that when we talked to John before the season began, John Paxson, we asked him about how do you judge success, and he talked about the way that you approach it, what you go by. What I'm learning is that Fred just isn't a very damn good coach, because I thought initially that maybe move the ball quickly, take advantage of the outside shooters, play the college game that he had in mind. Maybe that was going to produce something. I don't know what. And frankly, I thought they did pretty well in a few of those games early on.
Yeah.
And now they're falling into this. These are blowouts. Is it the level of competition? Is it just knowing going in that you have no shot? So we're not going to move without the ball. We're not going to try. I mean, it's people standing around the 3-point line, you know, getting it to, hey, throw the ball to me. Okay, here you go. Okay, I'm throwing it over there. Oh, you do another turnover? Like they had 10 turnovers in the first half. They were just terrible.
Well, no one's chanting.
They couldn't shoot.
No one's chanting trust the process.
No one is.
They won't be doing it at the United Center.
No, and no one wants to see the centerpiece of the trade, in your opinion. I still don't get it. The Chris Dunn take a shot. Right.
1-for-11 Chris Dunn. And
how about
Quincy Pondexter starting in front or coming off the bench, starting in front of game playing time before Denzel Valentine? So I mean, this is another first round pick, another top pick, right? Another one of your core guys forward.
I did you think that was the core guy moving forward?
No, but they,
so he should be playing.
They picked him. I mean, they didn't try to sell. So it for a team that absolutely has to rebuild through the draft, because free agency is not attractive for anyone when you're rebuilding, let alone when you're competitive. You've been hard pressed to land your top prize in free agency. So now, you know, is this another guy where yesterday Fred spent part of his day explaining away, or no, don't read anything into that. But
Lonzo Ball was 1-of-9 last night, and now has had, but now it underscores that he has the lowest shooting percentage in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably because Chris Dunn was out with injury. Chris Dunn has every bit as bad a shot, or as little a chance of hitting a shot as Lonzo Ball. Lonzo has a much worse shot. Whatever that is.
Oh, that extra motion.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That just gives defenders time to block his shot or to alter it or whatever. Whatever his little, like, hook thing, whatever the hell he's doing.
He brings it up from his hip and over here by the ear, by the time it's off.
You guys just don't know. He's a big baller. That's how they do it.
I know he's a big baller.
That's
but
how they do it.
He's not a big outside
Apparently
shooter.
Apparently they're not selling enough those shoes because, you know, the kids are stealing sunglasses. So.
Oh, stop it now. You're going after that poor kid just because his father's a loudmouth. It's not fair. Go after him because he's a thief. No, I'm just – I mean, if you're in China, aren't you going to shoplift? No. No, I'm not going to.
Not Louis Vuitton sunglasses.
No, I'm not. Yeah. I'm not. I mean, I'm not shoplifting anywhere.
Right.
But if I'm in a foreign country, I'd have to know what the rules were before I tried to shoplift anything.
How many fingers am I going to lose?
Exactly.
It's not a five-finger discount. Wait a minute.
I've heard of punishment in foreign countries that's different than ours.
You think Lonzo shot's bad. Look at LiAngelo with three digits on his finger trying to put up buckets.
It's terrible. But
China?
But really, it's shocking to me that Dunn can't hit a shot. And he can't hit a shot, sadly. And
he outscored Lonzo last night.
Well... Yeah,
3-2.
What were the assist totals there? Because I think the Bulls had 4 assists in the first half,
and Lonzo had 2.
Okay, Bulls as a team had 4. They were literally like no one moving the ball. They were just jacking the thing up. It was like the shot clock would come down. There'd be 2 guys on a guy. He'd be in the corner holding the ball. No, maybe this one worked.
I love that
it looked like me trying to throw a balled up piece of paper in the garbage can.
I love that you're frustrated, but you know what's happening coming in.
I am not that frustrated. I'm just...
But you know
27-7, you were in a little...
But Joe, there's no Joel Embiid here. There's no Ben Simmons here. Uh-huh. I mean, that's the thing. If you know what the finished product might look like, but this is a real leap of faith to say anyone on the floor last night is part of the finished product.
Lonzo's shooting 30.3% and Chris Dunn... 36.7 with a bullet. He's heading for Lonzo territory.
He's on target.
Yes. Scoreboard update.
We're going to talk some Bears next.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
We got a lot of big play guys. I mean, Golden Tate's leading the league in yards after catch. He's I think in top 3 in third down receptions. He's up there in yards per catch. I mean, they've got weapons that are in the top 10 in the National Football League.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the score. Big Cat Williams joins us on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline, your CarX man. Has the lowest tire prices right now. And, Kat, we just heard John Fox talk about the weapons that Detroit has, and they are of higher quality than Green Bay, especially with the quarterback. But I can't believe I'm going to say this. I think the Bears still have a formula that can cause Detroit problems on Sunday. I just I don't know if everyone stopped believing after the Green Bay debacle. But it's worth giving them a chance in your mind, right? I mean, is there a chance for them to not get back in this thing by any stretch of the imaginations? But, boy, I've never seen a coach fired so dramatically as he was in the fans' minds after that loss to Green Bay.
Well, I think you're talking about a Chicago team right now. If they take the field on Sunday versus Detroit without, some of their key players on defense, like Trevathan, you're talking about a Detroit team that has the ability to put up possibly 40 points on them. You know, if they have communication problems, especially as far as the D-line not being able to run their stunts correctly, giving Stafford extra time, allowing him to get outside of the pocket to buy time for his receivers, which don't need much time because, Golden Tate and those guys are able to get open down the field. It could be a long day for the Bears defense. They're going to have to go out there. They're going to have to execute everything that they have in their game plan. They're going to have to make tackles, and they've got to be able to come up with a turnover or two at some point in time, whether it be, defensively or on special teams. And I just don't know if they're going to be able to do it. I think you had a couple shots last week versus Green Bay. Fuller made a couple nice breaks on the ball, but you have to be able to complete the play. And part of completing the play is coming up with that interception, not just knocking the ball down, fumbling it off your hands. You have to be able to get that ball and either, one of them looked like he might have been able to take it to the house, but you got to be able to get that turnover.
James, did anything that Dal Logan's said yesterday make sense to you? You know, when you talk about, we can't do this because the defense is dictating that, and, this Tariq Cohen's double team, so, he's not out there, and then pass protection, he's not good at that. I mean, it probably all makes sense, and there's some truth to all of it, But it just sounds like you're more passive. Like there's nothing we can do. You know, here's the situation. You know, if they show us this, we don't have a response here.
Well, I think if you look around the league and you look at some teams, like if you look at Kansas City, they have the Kid Hill who, you know, returns punts and kickoffs, plays wide receiver for them. Not a big guy, but I think Cohen kind of falls in that category also. You've got to find ways to give him the ball. You don't always have to line him up in the backfield. And, you know, I don't want them to take carries away from Howard. But you have to find things to do with them. You have to be able to run reverses. You have to be able to run screens to them, you know, just to get him out in the open space. You have to find little things that you can do with him. Okay, yeah, he's double-teamed, but, you know, him being double-teamed is taking an extra defender away. You know, it's taking an extra defender away, which allows your wide receivers now. You know, we saw a little bit of Inman. Hopefully these guys can get open if they're trying to double-team Cohen. And just because they're double-teaming Cohen doesn't mean that with motions and things like that, you can't get him the ball in good situations, because all you're trying to do is get him into space. You know, if you can get him into space behind one or two offensive linemen, if you can get him out on the edge on his own and get one good block by a wide receiver, you know, you stand a chance. But just saying that because of what the defense is giving you, you're not going to put him out there on the field at all, I think that's a little short-minded.
You know what? When you look at the interior of the offensive line, it's obviously the strength of the team, but is it? Because Kyle Long was out. I mean, I know he played one play. That was bizarre. They were out of bodies, and I guess they didn't want to move someone up because they would have had to cut someone, and they don't feel like they could do that. So you have him come in for one play. But that Hronis Grasu, I mean, that is a bad option at center. I'm sorry. He just looks like he's, I don't know, overwhelmed a lot and not physical enough to play that position. What's going on with the interior of that offensive line? Also, Deion Sims. I mean, it just seems like their blocking was pretty poor last week.
Well, I think, yeah. Well, let's go back. I think, yes, coming into the season with everyone healthy, the interior part of your offensive line should have been your staple. You know, Whitehair, Long, Sitton, those three guys at their best are, you know, they are pretty damn good. But now you're talking about everybody being banged up. You're talking about Long having, you know, ankle or shoulders, fingers, Whitehair, not playing center, playing center, back to guard, playing left guard, going to right guard, you know, Compton being out. You know, you kind of create a monster. And don't get me wrong, you have to have guys on the field, and, you know, you have to have guys that can play that position. But yeah, that was supposed to be the strength of your offense going into the season. That's the middle of the offensive line, the running ability of Howard. And just with all the injuries and all the movement, it has kind of turned into your liability spot. Like you said, you have to put Grasu in there now. And Grasu's not a big, powerful guy. You know, he spends a lot of time in the backfield. He gets pushed around a lot. Whitehair is having his struggles right now. And it just seems, you know, once it's kind of that snowball effect. Once things start to go bad, you know, they just get worse and worse and worse. And I think we're starting to see that right now. You know, I think getting Kyle back onto the field at 80%, 90% will help that offense, because even him at 80 or 90%, I think, is better than your other options. You know, Kyle's a mauler. Kyle's going to do what he does. But, you know, I think you've got to get that guy healthy, well, healthy as possible, and back onto the field.
Is Grasu salvageable, or is it too early to call him a bust and say he just doesn't belong and can't? It just doesn't look like on any level you see a player there.
Yeah, I mean, at some point in time, you're going to have to take, they're going to have to take a hard look at it and say, is it really worth it? You know, I think right now he was a third round pick. He was a high pick for them, and they want to see him work out. They don't want him to be labeled as a bust. They don't want him to be labeled as one of the guys that Pace picked and didn't work out, you know, early in Pace's tenure. But I think at some point in time, you have to say that, okay, this is not working. You know, he doesn't seem to have the power that he needs to play center, to keep guys from penetrating. And he's just, I think he's too small to play guard. If you can't do it, you can't do it at center, I don't think he's going to be able to do it at guard. So, you know, I think at some point in time, you're going to have to cut your losses there and get yourself somebody that is going to be that viable swing guy. Because you can't even, I don't even think you can consider Grisou a swing guy, because, you know, I don't want him coming off the bench and playing guard if somebody gets hurt. I don't want him coming off the bench and having to play center and move Whitehead to guard. I want Whitehead to stay at center, learn that position, have the opportunity to work with Trubisky as much as he can, and get that cohesiveness between the two of them. I just think that's very important. And, you know, you're not seeing that this season because of all the things that are going on.
Kat, what about the defense? Did you get this impression? This has been one of the things that people are talking about, that they didn't have the same intensity. They didn't have the same, you know, whenever you're not tackling well, people are going to look at it that way. But, man, they got down to their third running back, and it looked like he was running over some people.
Well, you're missing, right now you're missing the quarterback of your defense in Trevathan,
right,
the guy that keeps everything going. I think that some of the communication problems, you know, they highlighted one on TV, the one between McPhee and Unrein.
Oh,
you know, they highlighted that on TV, the communication back and forth between the two of them. But I think without having Trevathan in there, you're going to have some of these things along the line. And when you're a defense that is on the brink of turning that corner, you know, you hit a setback versus Green Bay. Now, if you put Trevathan back out there during the Green Bay, you know, if he was able to play during Green Bay,
yeah,
do we see some of the communication issues that we saw? Probably not.
Yeah.
You know, but there's no guarantee that he's going to play this week either.
No.
So you might still see the same things going on out there.
Oh.
And like I said, if those things go on this week versus Detroit, you're talking about a team that throws the ball a lot and can put up 40 to 50 points on you.
All righty, Kat. Thank you, buddy. Great catching up.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
You too, James. Bud. Thanks.
That is Big Kat Williams. And, oh, boy. 312-644-6767. Can you make a case? How are the Bears going to win this game? Are the Bears going to win this game? Haven't they played well at home, Green Bay aside? If they get some players back, wouldn't that make a huge difference? If they got a tight end that could block, if they got a Kyle Long back in the mix.
Here comes Marcus Wheaton.
Molly and Hanley on The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
They put up a lot of points. I think they're sixth in the league in scoring. You know, so they're very potent.
Yes, indeed. That's Foxy. You're listening to Molly and Hanley on The Score. And congratulations to Jeff from West Chicago. He just won the warm. And we got one more tomorrow.
He's
one,
a big squirrel.
He is a big squirrel with many nuts. And that's a wondrous and glorious thing. And you can stay tuned tomorrow. Tomorrow is the day.
Yeah, we've been giving trips away all week. Tomorrow,
that's right.
One more chance for you to win the warm thanks to Apple Vacations. We appreciate all that they've done for us this week. You have a chance to win the warm, a three-night trip for two to beautiful Grand Bahia Principe Punta Cana in Punta Cana, Dominican Republic. So stay tuned again tomorrow, and congratulations, Jeff.
And how about Dustin getting the big guess? We got to squeeze in Kid Rock. He's in Detroit.
8 Mile.
Hey, Kid Rock.
I thought I'd be parted today. I turn the other way. I just called to say the Bulls blow. Gar packs must go.
Okay, Kid Rock.
What?
Called in from Detroit with that.
I thought Bobby
Portis
song. Get the hell out.
I thought dial-up no gains was going to be the...
No, that was...
We topped it.
We topped it. We did. I didn't think we could top it. We topped it.
That's the actual Kid Rock.
Of course it is.
Or maybe just someone claiming to be. One or the other.
Get out of here.
It's amazing what they can do in the studio with auto-tune, because that didn't really sound like Kid Rock.
All right. Well, that's the real Kid Rock, before they clean him up.
That's what's so amazing about the technology, Brian. They actually had it reversed.
Yeah, you ever heard Mariah Carey sing when... You
know, Cowboy, baby.
When she's not lip-syncing?
Does auto-tune get rid of hepatitis?
Good Lord.
I hope so.
If you're a baby boomer, Kevin, which you're not, you should get that checked out. Some simple blood work.
I want to thank everyone for calling and texting and emailing. Most of all, thank you very much for listening.
Gilead Sciences.
We'll be back bright and early tomorrow morning, live at 5.
Molly and Haley join us.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.